I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Everyday Struggle podcast. Nadeska here with DJ Academics and Ueno, struggling to catch up on all the music we've missed since we took an extended break for ComplexCon. Since then, we've gotten new projects from Lil Peep, Lil Durk, Takeoff, and more. But one of the standout projects for the entire crew was Metro Boomin's Not All Heroes Wear Capes. It included features from 21 Savage, Travis Scott, and Young Thug, and the album sound great, and it made a huge debut at number one.
I know what the best song is on here.
Which is?
Don't come out the house.
Mm. Don't come out the house. The Whisper song?
Yes. That's the best song on the whole project. Well, I was listening to this all on, what day did we get out there? Well, what day did it start? I think it was Friday. Mm. I listened to this all on Friday. What I liked about the project overall was it's a lot of post-production that takes a lot of the songs from one to the next. So it sounds like it's one song. Like, you know how Kanye would produce a song and it would, like, kind of segue into the next song. And then you look, and it's like you're on a different song, but it kind of sounds like the same beat was playing. Mm-hmm. I like the whole project, but Don't Come Out the House is the one off of there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I only listened to the first couple of songs. I was really moving around this weekend. But the joint with Travis Scott sounded very good, and that was, like, track two. I only literally got through, like, the first three, four.
Did you hear the one he's talking about, though, where 21 starts whispering?
I probably did, but
it's one of the early ones.
You ain't listened to it
because you remember it.
Yeah, it's track three.
Yeah, and that shit is fire.
And I will say, though, like, from the songs I did hear of off this, I could tell why Metro has been, like, in the cut for a while. He hit all the good beats for himself. Like, all these shit sounds really good in terms of production. And we know he's kind of been a little bit absent off the mainstream scene. He definitely took everything for this album.
This week, we also dug deeper into a question posed by an Everyday Struggle fan. What's the criteria to be named as one of the greatest of all time? And what's actually the difference between a legend and a GOAT? What's our definition? Because this used to be a thing that we didn't have to define. But yeah, now everyone's a GOAT.
Right. I want all young people coming up to believe that they're great, but stop calling yourself a GOAT. Because if you're a GOAT and you ain't did shit, I think in order to be considered a GOAT, you have to stand the test of time. And that's got to be at least 5 to 8 years minimum. Like, you can't just say you're a GOAT because you're good.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to put in some work. Like, and that entails everything from having hit records, being dope.
Do you have to have a classic album to be considered a GOAT?
I don't think you have to have a classic album to be considered a GOAT, but that helps. Yeah, like, that definitely helps. But I don't think you have to have, like, a critically acclaimed classic to be a GOAT, because there's a lot of great people. Essentially, GOAT just is an acronym for greatest of all time.
You could have just created some of the greatest moments.
Yeah, you could have a lot of great moments and be a GOAT. So I just don't like to see young kids who ain't never did one thing but get 5 or 10 million plays on YouTube say, oh, he's a GOAT. It's like, GOAT, you ain't did shit to be a fucking GOAT.
I look at that whole term differently. Like, even just listening to what you said, I feel like for the most part, you're describing legends. Like, you can be a legend. When I think of GOATs, I think of like the top 20 of just rap music, period.
Yeah. Current rap music old-time rap music?
Overall, there's like two GOATs now, like, or maybe three.
Two GOATs? What?
Drake,
Wayne. Okay, M. Yeah, but okay. Most of these other names, you're not a GOAT. Like, yeah. You might be a legend, which is a huge thing. But when I think of when I'm thinking of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Nah. It's more than two.
It's more than two.
Name some.
I'll say.
Okay, Kendrick's in there.
Kendrick is in there. I'll definitely call Kendrick a GOAT.
Cole would go in there.
Cole, I'll definitely put Cole in there. If I'm going to put Cole and Kendrick in there, I'm putting Meek in there. Because Meek is, Meek is, you know, Meek is great. Listen, Meek got one of the greatest fucking intros ever. How is that not, how does that not put that GOAT status?
That song might be GOAT, but like, if we're talking about as an artist.
He has a lot of great songs. He's not a great artist? You don't think he's a great artist?
No, he's a great artist, but that's what I'm saying. When I think of the GOATs, I'm thinking beyond just legend. I'm thinking if we had a short list of
greatest of all time.
All time, like, right?
All time.
So it's not just this generation.
You got to put
so
up stats.
So if we have a short list of, if we're naming top 20s or even top 30s, let's even extend it to a top 35. Mm-hmm. Are you, is Meek on that list?
Of top 35 of all time? All
that's what the term means.
But
time.
How do we get this 35 number?
So here's the thing, yeah. So first, like, if we're saying the top 35 of all time, so Wayno is saying you don't need to have a classic, a full project. Do you think that you need to do, like, what's the actual criteria?
Oh, you gotta have a classic. You can't be the greatest.
A full classic album, not just
I'm looking
moments.
At that term very heavily. I'm looking at
so
it.
So legends can have classic moments, but GOAT should have a classic
if you're,
album.
If you're one of the we use the word
so wait, wait. So
use
a legend can have
GOAT.
A greatest moment? Of, can a legend have a greatest moment of all time?
Yeah.
So but that's what I'm saying. Like, that has to be some sort of, like, we're all making all of this shit
up.
So
that's what he's saying, to your point. He's saying you could be a legend if you've impacted the culture, you've done some great things, but we can't point to a body of work and say this was an absolute classic, right? That you're a legend. But he's saying a GOAT must have that body of work, at least one.
You got to
have. So I'm curious if people would agree with
that. So, all right. When I think about the GOATs, like, you know, and I wish I could think of a dope basketball reference, but I'm.
You could think of a lot of them. You can think of a lot of them.
Okay.
Quickly.
Say right now, Kyrie Irving, he'll probably go down as a legend. But is he a GOAT? No. You get me? He's really good. And right now, he's like one of the top players in the league. But when I think of GOATs, like right now in the NBA, the probably only three who qualify, who have done some shit, LeBron, Curry, and KD. You get me? Those are the only I'm thinking.
Because they also they have the rings to show for.
Yeah, but not only that, I'm thinking so top echelon, mm-hmm. like you can't.
But see, and that's very, and the reason why, look, because if we're going to stay within basketball, that's going to be very particular to what's been
done. I don't know if we should stay in basketball, then.
We're not going to stay in bed, but I'll just give one last reference, because if we talk in terms of Curry, I'm going to put Klay Thompson in there as well. You want to know why? Because Klay Thompson got every single ring that Steph Curry got. And Klay Thompson got two of the best moments. He got the top. He got the most threes in one game ever, and he has the top scoring. This top scoring quarter, he scored 38 points in one quarter ever. Michael Jordan never did that. So what I'm saying is if you have a great moment, if you have a great moment and you impact the hip hop culture, then you can be considered a GOAT. If we're gonna use that, Meek has bodies of work. Now his first album might not be the body of work that you say, oh, this is. This is the best shit from him. His second album is really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it a classic, but I call it really good. And he has a ton of classic moments, a ton of great moments. So I'm putting him in there as a GOAT.
The reason why I had said 35, like the top 35, because
that's a very odd number.
Well, I just randomly picked it. But when you hear greatest is not like a collection of niggas. Greatest means one. Greatest means the
not
extreme.
Really. It doesn't mean one because they had the top 50 players. They was the top greatest players and
they were ranked.
Yeah, they were ranked. That's what I'm saying. So it that's why we can't, for all of hip hop and all of hip hop's whole history, we can only pick 35 people. All right, but, only all right, three people right now.
Right, even
and hip hop is only what 40 years old. It's very young.
Even 50. Like again, if I have to think
50
about
50 Cent a GOAT.
No. I'm not saying.
I'm just
course,
saying.
Of course, 50 is
okay,
but.
He has a classic album, though.
I was saying even the top 50 like hip hop artists of all time, right?
Yeah.
That if we're gonna consider them in that GOAT list, right?
All right.
If I have to think if Meek fits in there, I won't just definitively say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a conversation.
Can we pick
an
older example too?
Well, I say
yeah.
This is another, and this is just I know we go, keep going into
no,
sports, but this is another basketball reference. Another basketball reference, right? You don't have to win a championship. Mm. You don't have to win the championship to be in the Hall of Fame, right? You don't have to win the championship to be in the Hall of Fame. And it's a lot of players that was in the top 50 players that didn't win championships. So if we're looking at a classic album, I look at a classic album as a championship, right?
Right.
Let's equate those two. There's people that still can be mentioned with other people that didn't never get a classic album. Not getting a classic album don't mean that you're not a great player. You
stupid
can be
question.
A GOAT.
Is it fair to equate a classic album and a championship since it's like a team effort versus more of a solo effort?
No, because I think a classic album is...
I feel like it's easier to win a championship than it is to drop a classic album. I'm just asking.
Wait. Jamel Hill, and she kicking knowledge like she about to work.
Hold up a second. Hold up before we get past this, because a classic album is a team effort as well.
It is, but you understand what I'm saying. I feel like it's harder to make a classic album than it is to win a championship.
That's only because...
I hope that doesn't sound stupid, but...
I get the point that you're making. Stop gassing it. I get the point that you're making, but you... That's the only reason why is because we're not championing the fucking engineer. Like, the engineers don't win awards. If the engineer got a ring too, they get a plaque. Mm-hmm. But they're not championed in media the way the coach is. You get what I'm saying? So if Kendrick doesn't have the opportunity from a top dog, then what is Kendrick? I always say, let's not talk about fantasy. Let's talk about what it is. So given with that being on the table, I equate a championship ring to a classic album. You don't get a lot of them, and you stay in the game a long time. Think about Nas or Jay-Z, right? Been in the game 20 years. He ain't win off. He ain't get a classic every time they put something out.
Yeah, not at all.
You don't get to put out a classic body work every time you put them out.
I don't even think that's worth that much of even a counter argument, because I don't even think that's too much of a bad point.
Okay,
The only thing is, like, this greatest of all time term, mm-hmm. this GOAT term, I just particularly wanted to be reserved for like the Nas's, the Jays, and if I'm gonna put a nigga with them niggas, you gotta have really put up some points in your career.
Right.
We can't just put up anybody with them.
All right.
And also, not because your jersey doesn't hang in that level of the rafters doesn't mean you weren't good. You could be a legend.
Right.
You weren't Jordan. You get me? It's only a few people in that Jordan conversation. Like we talk about GOAT in terms of like basketball. Everyone says Jordan, but the people who you throw in the conversation as well, you get the, what about Russell? What about LeBron? Like, we're talking about such high echelon of basketball.
Yeah, but you're
right.
Rappers
now, just throw in anybody.
I'm not throwing in any, and that's what I'm saying. I brought up Meek, and that's why we having this debate. But I throw Andre 3000 in there.
For greatest. I don't think anyone can dispute that, though.
Okay, and this is, all right, nobody can dispute that. Why Andre 3000 has a solo album, right, that was packaged as a double album with his counterpart. He don't have no album with just him rapping start to finish. He's singing and doing melody, all types of shit on there. Mm. But I put him in there because of his lyrical ability. He's one of the GOATs. So it's a lot of people, everybody's criteria... We don't have, like, the same criteria,
yeah.
But I think everybody has a different reason why you can consider him a GOAT. Because guess what? It hasn't been – if you're looking at the game right now, who is there anybody else right now that does the type of music that Meek does that's on his level?
No.
The same type of music.
Listen, I agree with all that.
Yeah.
I believe Meek, when it's all said and done, he'll be a legend. But
not a GOAT.
No, I just think that's a different conversation. Like, YG. Is YG a GOAT?
I don't think he is. But YG hasn't put in the same amount of work and hasn't been in the game as many years as Meek Mill.
Mm.
So that's a whole different conversation.
I feel like we're
about
to throw this.
Is 2 Chainz a GOAT? I think we get in that subjective range.
Yeah.
I like to just keep it like, yo, it's clear. Like,
and also region too, because honestly,
I don't think it should be regional though. That's,
If it's regional when it comes to Philly, if there's a Mount Rushmore of Philly, Meek is 100% on it.
Or even not just a Mount Rushmore, but a Hall of Fame.
We should be able to speak at a national level for this conversation.
Meek is definitely Hall of Fame. I'd say the legends are Hall of Fame. The GOATs are the people who, like, we could even make
change
an
the
argument.
Game.
Yeah, well, not only that, but, like, you know, they do the Mount Rushmore thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if we expanded it a little bit more.
Our fan question was, I feel the term GOAT is used too loosely, so what specifications does an artist need to even be considered a GOAT? Now, we went back and forth on this for a long time, and we ended up sort of stuck on the difference between a legend and greatest of all time. So just a couple things. So to define a GOAT, you should have a moment that stands the test of time, from their artistry to their persona or someone you think of until the day they die. A legend is someone who just has big numbers and no history to their life. So we were also debating, do you need a classic album? Do you need to just have classic moments, or is it an impact? So they're saying a moment. This person is saying a moment, not necessarily an album.
Well, somebody said, like,
there's a couple, though, so...
There's people with classic albums that's not GOATs, though. I feel like Juvenile got a classic album. I wouldn't consider him a GOAT.
So here's another one. A GOAT is a combination of skill, effect on the culture, how strong your fan base is, and whether or not they have a classic album. So this person has even more criteria. So they're saying Drake, Kendrick, and Cole all have classics. Legends are defined only by their effect on the culture. So this person is saying the opposite. Like, to be a GOAT, you must have a classic project, not just effect. So this is one of those things that it's really hard to pin down because everyone's going to have... Because there's no rule
book. Everybody has their own thing about what they think about this shit. I just think... Now, so, I think it's more of a conversation about greats, right? Because GOAT is greatest of all time. But you don't have to be greatest of all time to be a great. Like, there's a lot of greats.
Oh, man.
There's a lot... You just added,
like,
of greats.
A third layer. This person's saying...
No, no. Well, a great, I would just consider a legend. You're a legend, but when you're, I keep saying the greatest of all time, we now all the middle order niggas, the niggas who are, yo, they're really, really good, and we're talking about the top of the top in whatever aspect we're looking at.
Yeah. This one says a GOAT should be indisputable. So if someone has to argue for someone to be a GOAT, he's already out. The only rappers from this generation that are indisputable are Drake, Cole, and Kendrick.
But that's particular to who you talking to, because there's people that, like, all right, I don't think that Drake should have it held to him to be a GOAT because, you know, he had a reference track or two, right? But it's people that hold him to that.
Some people,
so
but
lot of people. No, it's
so
a
one
lot
person
of people.
They said it, but yeah, a lot of people in our comments are saying he goes up as one of the greats.
He's definitely one of the greats.
His effect, his impact on culture is indisputable.
He's definitely one of the greats. He's definitely one of the greats. But I'm just saying that it's a large faction of people who think otherwise based on one or two things.
All right, but let's be clear, though. It wasn't even... Because even if we sit here and we debate it, I think we'll both probably nudge Drake on the positive side of that conversation. I think it was when you brought, like, Meek Mill in.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, it was like, okay, so if we're talking about the greatest of all time, it's like a stretch to put him in there. That's why
they mentioned him, but unfortunately they didn't give more. Says Meek will go down as one of the best hip hop artists of his generation. That makes him a legend, but he's nowhere near GOAT status. But they don't give any more.
I can't subscribe to that, because I think that that's all particular about what that shit mean to you.
But I don't. That's the thing. I feel like when we're talking about greatest of all time, it should be bigger than just you. You know what I mean? Because then it just becomes your personal favorite list, which is just your personal favorite list. It's not the greatest of all time.
But to say that Meek Mill has not had an impact on hip-hop culture is wild.
I'm not talking about Meek specifically,
by
the way.
That's why he's a legend is a great thing. A lot of things don't become legends. Just the greatest of all time. Like, we're talking about, shit, if we're having this conversation 10 years from now, the artists of this generation who may not be on that, on still doing music at that time, they're already in that conversation, right? In 10 years from now, do we mention Meek Mill from this generation? Or do we just, again... Drake, Cole, Kendrick.
I think we do, and the reason why is because he's already had a 10-year career. He's already 10 years in on his career. Like, seriously.
As one of the greatest?
He's already 10 years in on a career as being top elite of the music that he makes. Now, from music has shifted. At one point in time, we wouldn't even be having a conversation if Meek was a great because everything was centered around the streets. Right or wrong?
I think 100% he's a legend, but I think...
I mean, I don't want to just hold it to him, because everybody just make it seem like I'm holding it to him. But what I'm saying is that we in a place... Wait a second. We in a place... I feel like hip-hop is gentrified on a lot of different levels. And what I mean by that is that because it's a lot of kids that don't listen to a lot of shit How could I say it? It's a lot of kids... Meek don't sell as much as a Drake, right? Mm-hmm. So if Meek sells as much as a Drake, does that make more of an argument?
I don't say it comes down to just sales.
It does for a lot of sales. Because that's what hip hop is now. Motherfuckers is judging off what the best shit is based on their sales. When one point in time, all you had to do was really be a really great rapper to be considered a great.
You got to put everything into the pot with that. And like, my thing with saying Meek is going to be a legend to me, right? If we're going to say he's one of the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Greats and greatest of all time. Greatest of all time, I'm saying he's on a list that's undisputable. These are the top dudes that's ever rapped. or the top hip hop artists of all time, right? Mm. I think we open it up to other artists that we would struggle to make the same argument about, like The Game. Well, to me, The Game is a better rapper than Meek. To me, The Game has accomplished more than Meek. Would I put The Game as much? Game used to be one of my favorite rappers. Would I put him on the greatest of all time? No. No. He's a legend. He'll be up there in that conversation once we're talking about
people
who have impact.
So what makes you the greatest? That's what I'm saying. It's like, what just makes you the greatest of all time? Because I look at it through the categories. Because before we was saying about basketball and all that shit and how we rate things. And it's like, when I think of the greatest shooting guards of all time, right? Think of Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. I think that fucking James Harden could potentially get in there one day, right? So, when we're talking in terms of rap, do we have, like, a list of dudes who do certain things that make them great?
Or so, I don't think the basketball analogy makes sense here, to be honest with you.
It's like an all-around thing, right? Yeah. Like, for example, it doesn't mean you're just the best bar for bar, right? But it's like floating attributes, right? Like, yeah, Kendrick might be the best in terms of just rapping ability on that particular, like, list or whatever, but sales, he dominates there too. You have to almost hit every checkbox a certain
way. Like, man, I just feel like rap is just so fucking watered down where you could be a great rapper and people just question you being a great rapper just because you don't fucking...
No. All right, I feel like let's button this up. It's getting too, like, I don't think we're trying to take away from people by saying, like, just because they don't sell well, that doesn't make them a great...
That's a fact.
It's just to be a great... The greatest of all time list can't be, like, 50 people. That's all it is.
Other than
some dope moments, it's... And that's what we're saying about even Kendrick, Cole, Drake, and I agree with that, it's very few out of this generation. We have a lot of legends, very few GOATs or candidates for GOATs. I just can't sit here and argue what...
Then Kanye is above all of that, then. Kanye, because I said, but we had a debate before, this was off camera, when I said that Kanye is in there with Michael Jackson and them niggas, and you told me I was bugging.
Okay, no, because you are going to an extreme level.
That's not an extreme. That's not an extreme.
Michael Jackson is one. No, you get me? Like what? You are arguing that Kanye is one.
He is.
One of what? Now we're opening it up to just all...
No, what I'm saying is...
One of the best
ever.
Kanye West. Fuck all that Trump shit. He going through all of that shit. Based it off of just his
of
cultural
impact. Of course he's one of the greatest of all time.
But that's what I'm saying. And that's above rap music. Like, he's in there with fucking... If Kanye
Wait,
was
so are we now talking about just rap music or are we talking about everything?
No, I'm talking about,
right?
A debate that me and this man was having one day. And he told me that I was bugging because I said that Kanye, if he was to pass away, that it would be just as big as a fucking impact on a worldly level as a Michael Jackson or a Prince or one of them niggas, and he said that I was bugging for saying that.
I didn't say
it. You did say that.
I didn't say about his impact of his death. What I said is that...
No, I said if he went right now.
You equated him to Michael Jackson.
He's on the level of one...
And I said to you...
What?
I don't think it's an undisputed fact that Kanye is the greatest hip-hop artist to ever live. And we had that...
I said that he has went far beyond that, just being an artist. That he's far beyond that. If you can't understand that Kanye, and the reason why I brought up him passing away is because a lot of niggas die, and a lot of people don't give a fuck a week after they dead. If Kanye was to go today, dog, he'd go up in there on a Mount Rushmore with Prince and fucking Michael Jackson and all them other niggas. He do.
Okay, still not the point I was saying. I'm just saying, if he died today, we're not saying Kanye is the greatest hip-hop artist I ever lived.
Oh, I see.
I still stand by that.
I see.
Like, there's a lot of other things. Like, I was arguing with him and Tupac.
Right.
And I thought there was good arguments on both sides.
You said that his Tupac impact was way big. It was way bigger than Kanye's. And I said I said Tupac did a lot in a small amount of time. But if they have the same circumstances, well, not circumstances due to passing, but if Kanye was no longer here with us, that shit would be way bigger.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be one of the greatest of all time, period. But if you're talking about in the context of him not being like a lyricist, whatever, not putting him on top of rap greatest, I get that. Like, you're talking about most lyrical being included. Yeah. Fine, but he's absolutely one of the greatest of all time,
period. No, of course.
That's not an argument.
I think I was just saying, when we compare anybody to Michael Jackson,
I don't know why he got in this conversation. He shouldn't have been a part of this conversation we're trying to have. That's like Michael Jackson. We was talking about
all-time greats. We was talking about all-time great entertainers. I said that Kanye is one of the greatest entertainers of all time. And the argument that you was making is that he's not.
With back to the original convo, right?
Mm-hmm.
With like Meek. I'm gonna put in a couple more because I don't feel like it feels like it's personal to me.
And
it's not, right? So I want to throw in guys who I feel are around this level and will absolutely, if not already, are legends.
Okay.
So that's what I threw in the game, and there's a bunch more we could probably throw in. But for them, I don't think even their impact, like even their music, they make great music. Mm-hmm. And in the games on the game side, he has two classic albums. But I don't think his music or their impact on just rap music didn't change anything.
Is it like extended impact? Like, you know how we can look back and say like Kendrick and Drake have been extremely consistent for the past like few years, so they define sort of an era in time. Is that the thing? Is it like you can't just be hot for a few years then dip? It's like you have to hold it down.
But I think that's what I know. I mean,
or even change the music.
That's the only reason why I brought him up, because I feel like in the past 10 years that was he was a big part of Meek. Yeah, he was a big part of it.
Consistently in the way that like other people. And again, it's not taking away from him. It's not personal. Meek is 100% a legend.
Right. Right.
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's like being on a consistent run, like dominating an era in time.
Versus
having some really big moments in time.
Right.
Over a span of years.
I think it's, see, what I say is, one thing I say that's really great about Drake is that, like, when Drake first came out, a lot of quote unquote hip hop heads really was a fucker with him because of the rap, because he was singing. You know what I mean? And then he changed, like, what he did was he changed it to where every kid that wants to rap today is comfortable with singing and rapping, right? They comfortable with saying, all right, I'm going to sing or I'm going to try to sing just as well as I rap. Like, if we don't have a Drake, we don't get, like, kids who come up under him like an A Boogie and all these different kids who come out singing and shit.
Right.
So I get that. But when I spoke about Meek, I was saying, like, all right, just his impact with people being able to see a grind. Right now, battle rapper turned mainstream, and most battle rappers don't transcend into making hit records. Battle rapper gets signed, make hit records before he even gets signed, runs the city. I mean, runs the city on a street level, gets signed, has mainstream success. That's the only reason why I put him in there. But Drake has had it on like such a massive commercial level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a massive, insane commercial level where this motherfucker has all types of commercial, that adds into it.
The greatest of all time should also be able to transcend boundaries,
absolutely,
right? Sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Like, you should be able to travel to far corners of the earth.
Absolutely.
And they'll still have heard of this person and be able to.
And maybe some, because people got legal problems. They can't.
What do you think? Do you think Beanie Siegel is a legend? Or
I think he's a legend. I know he's a legend. Mm-hmm. In terms of him being a GOAT, I think he's one of the greatest lyricists of all time. That's why I'm saying it's particular to certain categories, right? I think it's particular to certain categories. Now, yeah, certain rappers might not be on the same level as another person with being great, but in terms of lyricism, Beanie Siegel is one of the greatest rappers to ever put words together. Ever, and that's indisputable.
Yeah.
That's indisputable.
I think I kind of get what you're saying, Wayno.
We just don't have nothing. We don't have, like,
that's why
we got to make a Hall of Fame and all of that shit.
I think, and even the way you started out, like, 20 minutes ago, in terms of saying hip-hop is kind of getting gentrified. When it comes to street rap, Meek Mill undoubtedly is one of the best to ever do it. Like, if we're only thinking about street rap, he's one of the greatest of all time. I think. But that's one category. It's like, you know, if we think about the best three-point shooters ever, Del Curry's one of the best three-point shooters of all.
He's not even top 10.
His son's way past.
I can't name Steph Curry because Steph Curry's really just a great player.
He's the greatest shooter we've ever seen,
like,
ever.
I'm just talking about someone who may be really good in one statistic.
Yeah.
But then when you look overall,
they might
be on the top 10 in one statistic.
Right.
But overall, they might not be.
All right. So, but see, that's why I said, because this shit goes, we all get passionate about this in our own way, but I think that's why it's like, it's all particular, because like when you brought up Beanie Siegel, that makes me think about immediately about Jadakiss. And if we're talking about lyricism, right, if we're talking about lyricism, which lyricism was like the foundation of hip hop at one point in time, and that's why I said it's gentrified, because the shit is changing, mm-hmm. the neighborhood's changing, and the motherfuckers that built the neighborhood can't live there. Mm-hmm. That's why it's gentrified. But Jadakiss, one of the fucking greatest lyricists ever, bar none.
A legend.
Legend. But it's like, for what he does, we shouldn't even be having a conversation if he's one of the greats. So greatest of all time and greats, I think, are two different things.
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I hear greats is a legend.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, those are the greats are legends.
Greatest of all time is like, we're now using, because for example, like, we're going to use some criteria that might not be fair.
Right.
Like, if we're only talking bars, yeah, nigga, you're on the top five list, right? But if we then throw in, you know, we're going to throw in commercial success, we're going to mm-hmm. throw in impact on the whole culture, we're going to throw in these other things that necessarily, like, yeah, you're still a legend without you being strong at,
yeah.
but if we're coming up with that, like, all-encompassing yeah. list, yeah. like, we got to think about all of it.
But it's like, but it's different lists, too, because then it's like, Diddy's fucking greatest of all time mogul.
Oh,
like,
Jesus Christ. Wait, no.
We, we'd yeah, be going all day
for this. We're not talking about the mogul list. We're not talking about the mogul list right now.
But it's a fun conversation.
I feel like we came to a sort of consensus just now.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right, finally. From Wayno Space 10 minutes ago, I didn't think this was going to end well. I'm glad it did. Thank you guys for sharing your thoughts.
It sounded like he was about to wrap the whole dreams and nightmare into this now, man. I should pray for times like this to rhyme like this.
I mean, and another thing.
That would have been legendary.
In closing, another thing is like, yeah, I am passionate about my friends. You know what I mean? That's my friend. That's my brother. I've known Meek since he was 16 years old. I've seen him go through everything he's went through, like, mm-hmm. firsthand. I've been in the studio when he had the ankle monitor
yeah.
on him. So
get
it's
him
like,
up here every day. Struggle, my nigga.
Absolutely, like, I can. Absolutely, I can. And he knows that. But, you know, you're gonna defend, you know what I mean, people that you care about.
And finally, one more question that took us down a 30-minute wormhole on the show. For an upcoming rapper, does your state actually determine the buzz you get? Does your state determine the buzz you get? Certain rappers claim one state or city and wasn't born or raised there.
Mm.
This, especially if you're from New York, this is like a big debate. So remember Ooh. When Rocky and the whole mob dropped and everyone felt like they sounded too Houston? New York wasn't really showing them love at first. I think he even told at times, like, what song was it? He said it wasn't on Purple Swag. People didn't really like. They didn't respect him until he dropped Peso. That's they. I don't know who they yeah. are. We loved it, but...
I love this question.
I love this question, too, only because... All right, it's... So when I see people who weren't born or raised there, that's a big thing. Because I have a problem with you implementing certain types of culture into your art,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really know nothing about it because you didn't grow up on the grounds. Now, the thing with Rocky is, me being from Harlem, the first question everybody asks when a new Harlem guy comes out is, who knows him? Where do you go to school? Who he play ball with? All of that. With Rocky, what I really respected about Rocky, he was like, yo, in 2004, I was watching Mike Jones. Like, that was all that was on BET at that time. Remember when Houston had they fucking reign?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Jones, fucking Little Flip, Slim Thug, Zero. I mean, UGK was killing it at that time. Paul Wall. For him to be a young kid, and that's what he's taking in, that's what he put out. So I wasn't mad at it when he explained it. But your city or state definitely determines your buzz.
Yeah.
But it determines your buzz depending upon... who's the face of that city or state, the success they have. Because
mm-hmm.
I was just talking about Freddie Gibbs the other day. He's from Gary, Indiana. Nobody's fucking going and recruiting out of there.
Right.
But you got a person that's so dope out of Gary, Indiana. Mm-hmm. But I think that's due to Freddie Gibbs has had success, but he hasn't had commercial success.
Yeah, so there's so many layers to this. So let's start with the Freddie Gibbs example. So, Ak, if you're from Gary, Indiana, you're an amazing rapper. There's no rap scene there. Are you at fault if you move to another city and try to acclimate and incorporate parts of their culture, like he said? Or, like, what's the rule book here?
Before we even do that, right, before we even, like, go on that tangent or angle,
mm-hmm.
I'll say this, because this is so true for me.
Mm-hmm.
I give a lot more respect for somebody making it out of Gary, Indiana than out of New York City, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I've always looked at so many different ways where I look at artists in New York and I'm like, if you're somewhere else, you're not popping. If you're somewhere else, no one knows you.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much access to every media company. Like, that's even a knock. People even, you know, somebody in Houston or somebody in, like, it could be like North Dakota is like, yo, listen, we love y'all Everyday Struggle. We love y'all at the Breakfast Club, whatever these other outlets, but all media is from New York. Let's keep it real.
Absolutely.
All media is.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From New York, Wayno probably know a couple niggas from Harlem. Shit, I live in Jersey. So, and I remember that's why when I even started doing my thing, I try to not be that like East Coast centric.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I do believe that's an unfair advantage. Mm-hmm. And
but the thing artists from New York are always complaining that they're not getting love here as well, though. That's
well,
the thing.
Well, guess what? And I'm going to tell you why. And this is a big conversation because with artists from New York, I had said something like on another platform I was on, I said something about like artists from New York, like not talking about shit. Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I listen to certain albums and personally, we'll go through a lot of shit that another guy will go through mm-hmm. in another town. Mm-hmm. But I think that our skill has been diminished in how we project that in music. Because we in New York, we always think about, a lot of dudes in New York always think about, they getting money doing that, I'm gonna get money doing that. That's the mindset mm-hmm. initially, right? And we don't, now it's not so much about the craft, it's like, how can I get this shit going? How could I get myself on and my niggas? And I think that's what holds New York back. But at the same time, New York has shifted. And it's shifted crazy to where a lot of the radios and all of that, they do lean towards what's popping. And then when a guy goes to Atlanta and gets a song with a dude from Atlanta, they still don't get played. But I think that people don't play the game based on music. You got to play the politic game, too. Mm. That's why a lot of people from New York don't get love, because they don't play the politic game because they look at it as, you know, sucking dick. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, that's how they be looking at shit. Like, I'm not sucking dick to do this, and I'm not. And the thing is that in order to be an artist, you got to learn that it's more than just your art. I think it's 10% of your talent is what really gets you going. Like, you got to have all the other things, being on time, being respectful, showing up to shit that you're not going to get paid for. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to get you on, and a lot of dudes is not willing to do that because they view it a certain way. In New York, specifically. In New York,
Well, I know in New York, when I hear artists from New York, And this is like, this is kind of like a bias, right? So people do think once you're on in New York, you're on everywhere. Mm-hmm. That used to be the case when radio started dying down. People learned the harsh reality that it wasn't. So everybody who was like, no, I'm good in New York, I don't need to go, whatever. Okay, cool. You're not on. Like, you're only known in those four boroughs. But like, even, is it four boroughs? I don't even know. Five. Oh, yeah. Nigga, I don't know. Nigga, I live in Jersey. Anyway, beyond that, you see now, like, for example, I'll give you two artists, and I'm not picking on them, but I'm going to use my example.
Okay.
I've been hearing a lot about this dude, Lil TJ. Mm-hmm. I know he's a New York artist. I know I interact with New York people. So for them, whoever is hot within their little, I don't want to call it little, but like that close proximity where you live in, that's hot all over the world. There's somebody right now in Gary, Indiana saying, who the fuck is Lil TJ?
Right.
Somebody in Houston saying, who the fuck is Lil TJ? Now, a lot of times you'll see with media, because it's in New York, okay, well, if it's hot here, let's just push it onto the world. And not even getting that also, this person, I'm going to use examples.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Troy Ave made a XXL freshman list. I forgot what year. Mm-hmm. I was baffled.
2015.
I was baffled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and salute to Troy Ave, but I didn't think that he was hot across the U.S. He was hot, if he was hot, right, in New York. And he did have a couple of records, right? But that, I've always looked at that and said, that's kind of like a flawed type of thing. So mm-hmm. I put artists from New York through even a, you have like a harder mm-hmm. fucking
even if well, from think, the city, though, look, like, so one of the things people think is New York can be a little snobby in terms of how we feel
no,
about
we
rap. Because we are the Mecca, and it puts too much pressure on this upcoming generation versus a city like Atlanta, where it seems like the OGs are like, cool, you're making songs, let's do songs together, let's do more songs. You know what I mean?
I say to your point, right, like, if you're not from New York and you're making it in New York, then you're good everywhere. Like, seriously, if you're not from here and you could come here and sell out a show,
you can probably sell out a show anywhere because New York has the most critical people on the fucking planet. Mm-hmm. They'll come out their crib, pay for a ticket, come there, and you tell them, put your hands up, and everybody will stare at you like, who the fuck is this nigga? You know what I'm saying? So I think New York's biggest problem is that we think that we're too cool for shit, but to your point about like the younger artists not getting out there, that's due to your team. That's due to your team. Because if you dealing with like management, like if your management can't go to LA and they could go hit up Just Incredible or Sour Milk in them or Big Boy in them, like you gotta be able to work the circuit. And it's not just due to the artist. That's why a lot of times, like, I don't always put on a label. Sometimes it is the label because they don't understand the artist that they have. Mm-hmm. And it is the artist because they just thinking that this shit is just some game and they're not approaching it from a business standpoint. You gotta approach your music the same way a basketball player approaches playing basketball. Fucking practice. That could be writing a 16 every day. Mm-hmm. Working on your vocals. Like, rappers should start going to fucking vocal coaches. You wanna know why? Your voice is an instrument and you gotta use it in that way. So I think the initial question was about, you know, does your state determine your buzz? Absolutely, yeah. Because when you can't get the Migos and you can't get 21 and you can't get Nudie or any of these other guys, you go into Atlanta and say, who's next? Like, who else can I get? Because Atlanta's producing that top-notch product. When New York has, like, the A Boogies, the Daves, all these other guys, people are looking, but we don't have, like, in New York, I don't feel like we have those CEOs like we used to. Like, we don't have Coach K's and P's no more. You know what I mean? It's like everybody is in a gauntlet trying to outdo each other here, and they're not thinking about everything else.
Shotty from Treyway. You're trying to unite it.
Yo, one thing I will say about Shotty is, for me, I know somewhat of his history, and for him to be the type of dude that he is, he's come a long fucking way. He's come a very long way, and I think he should be saluted for that. But at the same time, his approach is what makes him misunderstood. And the artist he deals with, which is 6ix9ine, it's a new thing. And they dealing with a lot of aggression. Everything they do is aggression. So I think your state definitely determines your buzz, but it depends on what you know.
5 years down the line, because of the internet, does it matter as much what state you're actually from in terms of your buzz? Because it seems like if your state doesn't actually fuck with you, there's always the internet route, right? Until you get popular enough that they... But sometimes it takes the internet first before your state circles back.
It depends
on what rapper you are.
Sure, and I remember Wale, like, early saying the DMV didn't show him love. He was getting love overseas. Wale's, sometimes you got to be popular Wale's elsewhere to come back to
Wale's your... Wale's more the creative, artsy, not just trying to put him in that box, but you cannot be a street rapper and get love on the internet before your city. It just can't work. You can't, like, I just haven't seen
it. So it's a different type of rapper.
You can't be a street rapper, respected as a street rapper, and again, like, street rap is a different ecosystem than just putting songs out and blowing up online.
So we're separating the artsy rappers and the street rappers.
But at the same time, you got to remember the street shit is very subjective too, because the internet, right? Like, what is that, right? The internet is what everybody uses the internet. Roddy Ricch, niggas is fucking with Roddy Ricch in New York because they seeing that shit on Instagram. And he's putting out music that's saying, a nigga from the street might say, yo, I'm feeling that same way, I'm going through the same thing. So I think, like, the internet shit is very subjective in particular to each person. If you are a street dude, street dudes is on computers, they on iPads, they on all of this shit now. So you can definitely blow up somewhere else before it hits your city.
I don't feel like, I get what you're saying, but I don't feel like, say, Roderick's perfect example, right? And that's why when we went to California that this last time for Compass Con, like, and I was even outside Long Beach, really interacting with people from Cali, and they were like, yo, nah, we really fuck with him here. Mm-hmm. I don't think his momentum, because when it gets to my level, he's been buzzing in the city for a while.
Absolutely.
If he wasn't buzzing in the city, those records don't even get... Maybe he still makes them, but it's all that momentum from you being the guy in your city that makes that bubbles to, like, my radar.
Yeah.
You get me? So I do think, like, as opposed to a Lil Xan, I don't know where Lil Xan is from. I seen his video online, a Betrayed joint, had a dope little melody, and a cute video.
I think it's subjective to each case. Like, that's why I think it's a little bit subjective to each case.
Well, I was just trying to at least say, for example, like, the momentum Meek had is what pushes him into mainstream. The momentum that Roddy Ricch had pushes him.
But at the same time, though, you got to remember something. The internet wasn't at the level. Like, when Meek was buzzing, It was no Instagram.
It wasn't the streaming situation.
It wasn't no streaming. It was no Instagram. People were still... People
no, it travels faster
copies.
Now.
Right.
It travels faster now, but like... You remember, like, with Jay and them, like, your city was pushing you or wherever you were.
So you're
from,
right that it adds a whole nother level of credibility and the momentum. You're completely right. It's like you could go fact check, like, all right, he's hot over here. It's not just a joke. But, like, I think the internet's going to change all of that. I don't think it does.
It does. Because the internet, and I always say this, it made the world flat. You know what I mean? It made the world flat where.
And not overnight, by the way.
Not overnight.
It's not an overnight thing.
But, like, literally, I mean, when I went to Japan, it's dudes that's from New York that ain't even popping on they block. They might be popping on they block, but not popping in the next borough or doing sold-out shows. Mm-hmm. And in Japan, they fucking love them. So that just goes to show you how strong the internet is, where you focusing on just being in New York, you could be in Japan getting money and
so
not even know it.
Where does, like, a 6ix9ine factor into this equation? Because at first, I feel like a lot of people in New York weren't really feeling him, especially, like, the older audience.
I'm going to get right to that. Mm-hmm. But right before, and this is what I was saying, like, you could bubble, like, if it's certain type of music, and that's why I'm just pinpointing street rap. Like, look at Slim Jesus. Yeah, it was some people, his song blew up, Drill Time. Some people said it was hilariously trash. Ugh. Or some people said, oh, man, he's talking that shit and he looks like that. And it could have went either way, but it quickly, because there was no support, like, he really had no, like, it was some goofy kids making a song, it literally... Just
oh, man, that's
out.
Such a rough example, though.
No, it's an example.
But I see what you mean.
It's an example that counts. Because, put like this, right? There's this guy right now. This is guy, he's blowing up in Cali. I posted him yesterday. Shit, you listen to the lyrics, he's funny as hell. The dude's name is Blueface. I think Blueface 100.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I seen him. Mm-hmm.
Like, the lyrics is funny, to be honest. His shit is almost on some Drill Time S type of shit. But then, you know what happened? Apparently, in his city, niggas moving, like, how they're moving, like, he's in a gang or whatever, people are saying the official.
What about someone like Jay Critch coming out of New York? Does he need the whole city to rally behind him and keep that momentum going for everyone else to, like, across the coast to take him seriously?
That's a great example. I'm going to tell you why that's a great example, because, like, with Jay Critch, right, this is why the problem I have with New York is like, it's not just the label not doing development, media don't do no development, you know? I feel like Jay Critch deserves acknowledgement, and I've been championing him. Remember, like, even with the Double XL freshman cover, I was like, yo, he should have been there. Now, you see a kid, Jay Critch, he doing his thing. And he was doing his thing. The first time I seen him was at Yams Day, like, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he been doing his thing or whatever. It take an Atlanta nigga to come up here.
To sign him.
And then what?
Richard was born in New York.
Whatever. The nigga's from Atlanta.
That's so funny, because...
He was born in New York. He's from Atlanta. Michael Jordan was born in fucking Brooklyn. He's from North Carolina.
Okay. Look,
it take an Atlanta nigga to come up here, say, all right, I'm going to fuck with you. Because nobody was fucking with Jay Critch. I'm going to fuck with you. Now everybody want to jump on his dick.
That's what I mean.
But that's what I'm saying. People, they not doing no development. I think for a lot of times, like, we got to have, like, when it comes to music, it's a lot of entry level positions. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, to get on Academics page is a big thing, but you have to earn that. That's not something that you just because you're new, right? And it's levels. So I think if it's somebody that you like, right? Like, let's say you like this kid, you really like their song or whatever. You don't have to have a great relationship with their manager. You don't have to fucking know them. If you like it, support it and push it. Because I feel like Jay Critch should be way bigger than what he is, and niggas ain't supporting him because of maybe one or two things, or he's not here. I think that he's from Brooklyn for real, but he's not visible in the city as much as you'd like him to be.
Right.
So you can't support him? No, he's from here. Let's champion that shit and let's get him the way he needs to be.
Hey, listen. So back to 6ix9ine, and I want to touch on that Jay Critch thing too. Mm-hmm. So with 6ix9ine, the song came out, dope song. Of course, at least I just first heard the song. Don't know what's behind what. Mm-hmm. Then I see how he looks, and I'm like, oh, shit. This is Slim Jesus. 100%. I said, this is Slim Jesus.
You felt like that when you seen him?
The first time you seen him was Gummo? No. The first song I heard was Gummo.
Yeah.
And I seen a picture of him. And then I remembered there was a meme, a very popular meme of him, Trippy, and, like, some other guy. Mm-hmm. And I said, This is the weird looking kid talking tough to get people to buy in, and this is kind of a joke, but it sounds really good. So I'll rock with this song, I don't know. if he ain't had a, if he ain't had them blood niggas behind him to like everything that said, oh, it'll happen. Mm-hmm. This doesn't happen. 100%. 6ix9ine can't just drop them records and pop off. If he didn't have that presence and people start realizing because the association, like, oh, he's linked up with.
So you think it was more them than the stuff he was doing online to bring attention to himself?
No, or was it a good mix of both? That was what gave his career a second chance because he got buried off of those allegations. But when, and I mean, even now, like, people might not believe him, but they know everything around him is real. Like, when you saw the Gummo video, niggas, you knew the niggas in there.
So the thing with 6ix9ine, right? The first time I ever seen 6ix9ine ever, it was him and two other dudes, and it was a meme. And it was like, name this rap group, right? Mm-hmm. Because they was looking kind of funny, you know what I mean? Like, he had on no shirt or some tight pants. It just looked funny. That's the first time I seen him. When I seen his video, I think what caught everybody off guard was he's the only Mexican around a bunch of black dudes, and he got on a red flag, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, what the fuck is this? Everybody was like, what the fuck is this? This kid got rainbow hair. He got on a red flag or whatever. And in a lot of ways, he's self-made. He's very self-made because nobody gave him a chance. I didn't even know nothing about the allegations till like later, way later on after Gummo.
When I meant the video, though, what I meant, like, when I saw him, the first time I saw him wasn't a Gummo video. Right. Because even how I met him was like, I remember trying to talk to his label, like, why y'all not pushing this song? This shit's fire, right? I only have seen a picture of him, and I think, like, he may, we're on Instagram, like, kind of just sitting on, like, he was sitting on steps just kind of talking to the camera, right? But the Gummo, like, I'm saying the movement with him kind of legitimized him. But, yeah, even the Gummo video, like, if he shot a video like Slim Jesus where it was clearly geeks in the background with fake guns, like, we're laughing about the building. But when you see the Gummo video and you're like, oh, shit. Yeah, it is. It doesn't look a little weird.
You can't just do that in New York. Like, you can't. The people that he was around. See, that's why that's why he's having all the things that he's going through, because, like, the video that he pulled off, you can't just do that. Like, the neighborhood he was in, the people he was around, you can't just get to them. And that's what led to his stardom, but that's what could kind of lead to his demise, because he had those crazy situations. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's what led to all of that, because he associated himself with something in New York that you can't play with.
Yeah. But I mean, to your bigger point, I understand what you're saying, like, with guys like a YG or Nipsey. For guys like that, I think it's very important that they have sort of their state and their cities behind them. But yeah, I don't think it applies across the board.
That's why I kept it to street rap. Right. Like, you can't tell me no dude who has nobody in the city fucking with him, but is super popping doing street rap online, right? Mm-hmm. Because beyond the songs, people now start looking to see, all right, is he really about it?
Yeah, can he dance out here?
And then what happens is, because street rap, I ain't gonna lie, it's like a dog-eat-dog world when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. Other people who have seen your success is like, I'm about to prove he ain't real, but they're gonna put me on.
But at the same time, and this is just the case with 6ix9ine, I don't view his shit as street rap. I still view it as sort of a parody. I don't view it as street rap. And, like, that's no disrespect to him. I'm just saying by his actions and how he moved doesn't represent exactly what the streets is for me and how I was raised in the streets, or how, like, I grew up within music in the streets. So to me, it's still, like, kind of a parody.
All right, so to summarize this conversation.
We could have more conversation about that later, but J. Critch, this is what I realized when you said, does it really, to get back to the question, does your state or city make you hot? Mm-hmm. I don't think if you're the hottest in New York and you're only hot in New York, it makes you hot. I'll give you the quickest example, even though I know Baby did a video, or Lil Baby, I'm talking about, did a song with Drake. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're the hottest in Atlanta, it means a lot more than you're the hottest in New York.
Because that's only because New York ain't at the... New York rap is not where it used to be.
But again, why is it not where it used to be? Is it part of the reason? Because our standards
because we don't
are
have
so...
No,
or even Memphis. Yo, every time these niggas from Memphis who... They, like, honestly, they don't get no press support. Mm-hmm. They kind of work it. And maybe it is their team. They be working it like the independent artists while they sign. When they drop like a money bag, that nigga gonna put up 40,000. J. Critch, we could say he the hottest in New York, up and coming to center. He gonna drop. He not making the charts.
But you know why? Because we not champion, like, and that's why I said about New York. We not champion it. We're not. And that's the fucked up thing, because it's like, you got all these people here, right? You got all these people. And I say like an A Boogie, right? A Boogie should be way bigger than what he is.
And New York should have championed him harder, you're saying?
A Boogie is big, though.
He is, but I'm going to tell you why, because he's big amongst the kids in New York, right? He's big amongst the kids. Like I said, New York, it's hard here, yo, because a motherfucker could like you, love your shit, all of that, and be like, I'm not going to fuck with him until he does this. Why not? I went through that with managing artists. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to fuck with you until you accomplish this. So I'm not going to fuck with you until you do this. And that shit is not fair. See, the thing is that they don't have large media there in Atlanta. They don't have like a big media scene. So in Atlanta, when they got something that they love, they going to love it tenfold. We got all the media here and niggas will be fucking with you heavy and won't say it.
All right, so that's the thing. If all the media is here, right, and all the artists are coming through, there's a ton of artists, there's a ton of music dropping. Mm-hmm. Are we saying New York media should then prioritize New York artists, or should you?
It's a changing of the guards. New York is the only place. Name me another city.
Has LA changed guards in terms of their media personalities?
No, not that. Not that. But like, just, okay, change in mentality. Mm-hmm. It's a change in mentality from what you expect the city to sound like. Atlanta, there's nobody on some shit like, yo, man, I'm tired of this nigga Future, man. When these niggas gonna rap like Andre 3000?
Back to my first point, that isn't also our standards. Because how New Yorkers are, we're just wild, judgmental. Because
these niggas won't get out their seats.
You split it below, like, almost like 25 and below that accepts the new style. Like the most New York nigga who's, say, 35, and most of them are closed-minded, they're listening to A Boogie and they'd be like, what is this? You get me? They're not gonna support it like
that. But see, that's the biggest problem I have, because I feel like this, right? Like, retirement, right? Like, I don't think that you should retire, but I feel like if you a DJ and you've been in a seat for a long time, you should usher somebody else in.
No one's ever gonna do that though.
But this is what I'm saying. This is why
you gotta fight for it.
This is why our city don't grow in a lot of different ways, because it's like when I was 21, I was misunderstood by 30-year-olds. When I was 18, I was misunderstood by 21-year-olds, right? But then as I got older and I started doing shit, them same people is keeping me close because they want to know everything. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, why are you taking my information and not using it? So that's the thing. That's why I don't mind. I never mind mentioning a J. Critch, mm-hmm. or a Don Q, or A Boogies, a Lil TJ, a TJ Porter, or any of these young guys that's coming up, because If we're in a position mm-hmm. to push something that we like and we don't, then we're doing the youth a disservice.
I'll say this. I think you're making a good point, but I think it goes both ways, right? So if you're an upcoming artist, right, and you only want an interview or a look from someone who's been in the seat for 30 years and you're not championing the journalists or the people coming up who are younger, then how can you at the same time be mad when you're not getting those looks? Because they're...
Hold on. Facts. Yeah. You just said some... That's big facts.
I've always felt like that personally.
But beyond that, we put a little bit too much blame, because every time this conversation comes up when it comes to New York, here people say, yo, Flex, you've been there too long. Ebro, you've been there too long. Listen, it's not only media. Those people, you know why they got a job? They're really representing a mentality that exists among you. They're not the only people that feel like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you get them out of the seat, and then the people who really feel like that, it's
fans still- is fickle here. Fans are very, very fickle. And that's why I said, like, A Boogie, what really got him rocking was the kids. It was because the kids don't give a fuck. When I was a kid and I seen My Mind Is Playing Tricks on Me by Ghetto Boys, I didn't know that they was from Houston. I didn't give a fuck. I just liked the song. And that's what I'm saying. I think we got to have more shit where if it's something that we just genuinely like, especially if it's coming from our city, then we have to figure out ways to champion it. Like the same way with everybody got shit that they feel about 6ix9ine. But it's no way possible he shouldn't have did some of Jim.
I got you, but I'm going to put some of it on the artist, too.
Yo, it is. It's on a lot of people. It's a lot of disconnection.
You're blaming the artists for
I'm not blaming them. No, I'm not blaming. I'm just putting a little bit on it. You know what I mean?
He's like, blaming the media person. I'm blaming, honestly, the fans. I think you got to age motherfuckers out. Because when I believe only 30% of the people who love music in New York mm-hmm. are open to the new styles from New York artists.
I can't dispute that.
And when you deal with a big city like this.
Just so we're not
this.
Shitting just on New York media specifically, right? You guys feel like it's different in different cities. People age and cities. You grew out of this stuff. Just like you might listen to a Lil Peep and be like, sorry, this is not for me.
No, I'm
this
not
is
lie,
the next generation.
But look,
it's
look,
not
look,
fair to put it just
on New York. I walked through airport mm-hmm. and I had a good 5 minute, I was going through TSA. I had a good 5 minute conversation with the guy. He had to be 40 plus about Takeoff's album. They really, like not saying that's the only thing they've ever listened to, but they're open to the current scene. They're
guess
not
what,
like,
what?
Okay, music for me stopped before music, the sound changed.
All right, guess what? So you wanna know why? Because we so fucking, and my thing is this, right? Tradition is cool, but things change. And we so struck and fucking hell-bent on our traditions and all these traditions that we don't accept what's new. The Migos did not have to, if we talking about tradition, why the Migos don't sound like Outkast? Why Future don't sound like Ludacris? They could do different shit and be accepted. Gucci, all these niggas could do different shit and be accepted. But in New York, A Boogie got to sound like Jadakiss for
being
motherfuckers
that love him. Being the birthplace of hip hop is a gift and a curse.
It is, but it's kind of crazy. But I gotta agree with Ak in a sense because niggas need to open up their minds. Because
I agree
guess
with
what?
It, but I think again, if you're an upcoming artist and you're only gonna do interviews or give looks to the biggest media personalities who've been around for decades, you can't always turn around and complain that other people aren't supporting you.
There are
upcoming journalists who will give you a look.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But you're not giving them the look. So,
but you know what? That goes back to the artist's team because a lot of people is not well versed.
Right.
Like it's a lot of people that don't know that you are a very highly respected journalist. Like on some real shit.
Yeah, I'm the girl who just sits in the middle of you two.
And I hate that. No, I'm dead serious. I hate that people try to equate you to that and they don't do their fucking homework. Cause my thing is like, if Misinfo and Angie and all of them wasn't heralded and held in a certain spot, then a lot of Jay-Z interviews is what made us go listen to the music, cause that was the only outlet we heard them speak on. They didn't have Instagram and none of that shit.
Yeah.
So I think it's to the person's team to say, all right, this person is actually writing good articles and they might not be them, but let's see how we could grow with them. My whole thing is about growth.
Media should grow with artists. It would help.
You see, these days, and this is my last point, we can move on.
You're fine. This was the whole episode.
This was the one question.
So
no.
But it was a really, yo, who's the brother that sent us this?
Ent Body Bag.
Entertainment Body Bag. Thank you so much.
Nowadays, to that point, I kind of do blame the artists because what happened is people have replaced the need for media with social media. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, the fuck I need to go chop it up with Child? I got everybody on my Instagram. It's not the case. And also, they really don't champion a lot of new artists. Like, and again, of course, I was in a way more developed stage of my career, but you see how, look at me in 6ix9ine. Shit, look at how I was instrumental when it came to drill music. Me and Dirk, me and Keith, we still have a relationship. Like, if you're an artist coming up, maybe it doesn't have to be somebody who writes articles. Maybe it could be a YouTuber. Maybe it could be someone who fucks with you. You got to support who supports you.
Yeah.
So if you from like for example, I feel like, you know, salute to my man DJ Ghost. You know what I mean? He's a very influential dude. He's from the West. Mm-hmm. Shit, I watch him sometimes because I want to figure out how the people from the West are feeling. If you an artist coming out of the West Coast and you might be watching like your everyday struggling and discussing me and I'm hot, you should be championing the guy who is discussing you.
Yep.
He's right, from where you're right. from.
Big facts.
And you do help create those voices that's going to support the ecosystem that you are going to flourish in.
Yeah, I think
people don't think about that.
Yeah, bro, when I was at MTV.
And that might go back to what you say in terms of a team.
Right. Yeah.
Like your manager is supposed to be like, there's been hella managers who be like, listen, shit, I could even tell you listen, maybe 6ix9ine didn't understand who I was at first. The first time me and Trippie ever talked, and by the way, 6ix9ine signed to the same person.
Mm-hmm.
The person who signed them, Trippie went off on me. And the person who signed them called Trippie and said, yo, you cannot do that. We got to build a relationship with y'all where even y'all got to like each other, y'all have to coexist.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's supporting the ecosystem that you flourish in. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
And I use myself as an example because you're right. Even for the dudes who are super lyrical.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I ain't the one, right? But there's definitely somebody else. You got to give your energy
it's
to
them. Everyone.
Right.
You know? When I was at MTV, this was back when Chance had just dropped Acid Rap. I loved it. I loved him. I brought him and Vic up. The executives at MTV didn't know who the fuck Chance were. It was like before they started taking notice, and then they would put him on every special, but you'll never get that credit. And then the artists blow up, and they're like,
now they wish they could get him.
It's just like, yo, you got to grow.
I think the biggest thing for us, not just New York, but just hip hop as a whole, because hip hop is not like, you know, New York, I mean, hip hop started in New York and all of that, and it's traveled all over the world.
I think that we just got to start having more honest conversations. I feel like we got to get off our fucking, a lot of people got to get off their fucking high horse and start saying, yo, if I like you, let's have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Because you might not have the information to grow. And I think that knowledge is the only currency. I look at knowledge as currency because it could get you everything. Mm-hmm. And knowledge is the only currency that you can't be taxed on. So my thing is that if you a young artist and I fuck with you, I'm going to give you some game. Now, what you do with that game is all up to you. Mm-hmm. But I think that before, when it was the Biggies and this whole golden era, it was more dialogue. It was more dialogue, and it's not just, like, don't send me a fucking gift so I could talk about you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't need that. If I like you, let's have a conversation. Even if I don't know you, let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, when that dude does blow up and then everybody tries to get him, that's where the arrogance comes in. They wasn't fucking with me when I was on the grind.
Right.
Feel me?
Right.
And I still believe, listen, once give New York 15 years when...
Damn.
Nah, seriously.
No.
Yeah. When the people, like, when the people right now are 25, turn 40 then.
Yeah.
And they're now seen as the old heads or whatever, but yeah. I would expect them to still have the mentality of openness. You don't have to love everything, but openness. You know what I mean? Okay, let me see what this young dude who his style is just straight, just like rapping without teeth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just straight mumble. Who knows? But it's, if your whole city still expects the 90s, mm-hmm. it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And you're stunting your own growth. That's when you get artists. Shit, I don't want to speak for Richard Kidd, but Richard Kidd's probably like, yo, I'm glad I dipped. If I stayed here rapping like the fourth Migo, they would have told me I was trash. I was trash, and I probably gave up and just started selling weed.
Yeah. Well, just balance, man. Let's balance it out.
And new voices, yo. I put this out there so much. Mm-hmm. If you an upcoming rapper from a different region, mm-hmm. bruh, listen, stop thinking you only got to get to me. You need to start fucking
with the people on your level. You need with the people on your level.
Not even be on
that
your level.
Never changes,
but like, you got to learn and be like, yo, word, act not into the music I'm into. Nigga, I'm not into some of y'all niggas' music.
Right.
You'll never get me into it. I'm a person, right? The person who is into your music, there's hella people who likes all type of different music.
Absolutely. Yep. And you're not the only outlet.
Fuck with that person heavy.
Yep. Right.
Champion them as they're gonna champion you. Mm-hmm. Y'all build each other and y'all build an ecosystem you'll survive in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You get me?
He keeps using this ecosystem word. He must have went to his lawyer and his lawyer said
that. Nah, man. I'm telling you because, like, you see, when I was creating my platform, I tried to build an ecosystem that I could always survive in.
Yeah.
Right.
That I wanted to not be artist-centric, mm-hmm. but more about that new generation type of thing.
Right.
And
so I feel like I kind of did.
Yeah.
Right.
And if, you know, like, this is a random thought, but like, for example, I seen Tay-K when he got removed off of the Spotify playlist, he announced, yo, I got my own playlist. Mm-hmm. And I went on to his playlist and it wasn't just him. Mm. He had other artists that really was in the same type of realm as him.
Right.
That's an ecosystem. Mm. Right? Whoever loves that, whoever loves the, all right, he had songs from some songs from like NBA YoungBoy. Whoever loves that, those songs probably love your music. That's your ecosystem. Mm. Now, what makes that ecosystem thrive and build and grow? You got to support all aspects of it. Media is always going to be important. No matter how much you think you got social media, you can just get on and get it lit.
All right.
Yeah, you can have 10 million followers, and then if you don't use it right, nigga's not there anymore. You get me? So you have to leverage everything around. I'm just saying that was a good point.
All right, guys, that's our show for this week, but we'll catch you here next Friday on the Everyday Struggle podcast.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch? Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.